Rackets, free minds, free people. This is a production of the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. The Box. Inside. Outside. On.
Welcome to The Box. I'm Matt Briette, president of the Commonwealth Foundation, and your host today. Well, today we're going to be talking about pensions, and my guest is Eileen Norcross, who is a senior research fellow with the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And Eileen has been looking at pension challenges all across the country, and particularly here in Pennsylvania. Eileen, welcome to The Box.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're here to scare us because the financial challenges that Pennsylvania faces, not just at the state level, but the local level, are something that, well, most politicians, elected officials, just they're so large. One, they can't get their mind around them. And two, because they're so large, they're kind of frozen in the reforms that are necessary. Talk about the challenges that we're facing here in Pennsylvania, and then we'll talk about some of the solutions.
Pennsylvania has two challenges. It's got a state pension challenge, and it has a municipal pension challenge. And all of these challenges are rooted in some accounting assumptions that have been used over the years to undervalue the true size of these benefits for employees. And the consequence of that is that over time, not enough money has been set aside to fully fund these benefits. And now these funding gaps are emerging on the state level and also on the local level. And the problem there is that these big funding gaps can be a real problem for local governments, because then they have to use more of those tax dollars to pay for benefits, and they have fewer left over to cover current services. So it becomes a matter of paying for the police officer's pension rather than hiring a new police officer.
And is it just because these things are so challenging that you don't see the movement to solve these problems? I mean, private sector did this a long time ago when they saw the challenges of running defined benefit plans. What is it that's causing the inertia in government?
Right now, there are a few obstacles, I think, on the municipal level in particular. Pensions can be part of collective bargaining for municipal governments. I've just taken a look at the city of Scranton, and here's a city that's been financially distressed for decades. If you go back and read the reports that the government is and other groups that are looking at Scranton, over and over the theme comes out: we can't afford the cost of public sector workers' compensation, their wages, and these benefits. And that's been true for 20 to 30 years. So now we're at the end of this road where these costs have been built into budgets, and there's no real willingness to, I wouldn't say willingness, but the law is such that these benefits often can't be touched because of the collective bargaining law.
Well, at the state level, we know that the unfunded liability, meaning the amount of money that we owe in terms of benefits and what we don't have to pay for it, that is at $47 billion. But that's not probably an accurate estimation, because we use some overly optimistic returns on investment that we haven't been meeting. But we're looking at something that's even larger than what is being stated. And then this challenge of the municipal pensions, which we know many municipalities are distressed, and, well, they're going to be looking to Harrisburg to solve these problems. What should Harrisburg be doing now in order to start addressing this problem? And, you know, it's sort of like, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. What's the first bite that Harrisburg needs to be doing right now?
The first bite is accurate accounting. I think that governments across the board have got to stop using tricks and actuarial gimmicks to kind of create a fog over these numbers. And that includes using longer amortization periods or trying to use asset smoothing to make the plans look a little bit more robust, to take down that annual contribution figure so it's a little more palatable for the government. You want accuracy in accounting. How much needs to be set aside each year to fund this benefit? And then stop the bleeding. These systems need to be capped, shut down, move workers to a defined contribution plan. The defined benefit model, I think, is not serving workers well. It's been, I would say, overpromised and underdelivered. And the consequences are going to be serious for the workers and of course, also for taxpayers, as these annual costs keep rising. And again, that's going to be felt more acutely on the local level, where you may see property taxes going up.
Well, and this is where, you know, if you are a unionized state worker or a teacher, the unions are telling you, hey, they're going to take away your pension. Is that what's the, you know, in fact, the truth here?
No, I think what needs to happen is workers have to be shown that the way forward is to stabilize the benefits that have been earned. Your benefits that have been earned to date, you need to figure out a way to pay this down. And then Pennsylvania should think about structuring an employment program for retirees that is stable, that is fully funded at all times, and that gives the workers choice if they should move jobs and more flexibility. Right now, the defined benefit system is falling over, and that is not going to benefit workers. So I think one of the principles of pension reform is to think of the needs of the worker and to make sure that what's been promised is delivered, and that going forward, younger workers have a secure retirement.
Well, there's a fear amongst politicians that if they pursue this, that this hurts them at election time. What's been the experience where, you know, like Utah and Rhode Island, what has happened as a result of, well, politicians speaking frankly with the public and saying, here's our problem, here's a solution, and implementing it? What has been the political benefit or detriment as a result?
I think honesty and transparency is always appreciated by all stakeholders, including the workers and the taxpayers. And I think that's what we saw in Rhode Island and in Utah, where people came to the table and said, what are we dealing with here? Truth in numbers. We have a math problem, is what Gina Raimondo reminded everyone.
A Democrat, right?
A Democrat. Yeah. And this is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is a good government issue. This has to do with how we structure benefits for employees who provide services for us. And I think in both cases, you had the idea of truth in accounting first, and then let's figure out a strategy to do to make sure that in the end, workers get what they've put into the system, and that going forward, you have a stable retirement system for younger hires.
And so ultimately, there is a political benefit to doing the right thing. It's not the challenge that, unfortunately, I think a lot of politicians believe, well, this is a political football that I just don't want to touch.
I think there's, unfortunately, a lot of harm to thinking that way, and that if you don't touch this problem today, it's only going to get worse. And you get to the point where you have fewer and fewer choices that are left to you, and the trade-offs become even more painful. And that's exactly where you don't want to end up. If you have a little time now to do reforms, you want to seize the opportunity and make sure that, again, the workers' accrued benefits are safe and that you've got a better system going forward.
Well, what kind of encouragement would you give our state policymakers here in Pennsylvania as they go through these last couple of days? You know, what do they have to look forward to or fear if they don't start to solve this problem?
I think, again, I go back to the principle of truth in accounting, is get everyone on the same page and call attention to the size of the problem and the kind of options that are on the table. And the benefits should be, I think, obvious to that approach. Doing nothing, I don't think, is an option for Pennsylvania. These are acute problems on the state and the local level.
Well, thank you, Eileen, for joining me here on The Box. And, well, we hope that as we talk about these financial challenges, that they'll use them as opportunities to get not only Pennsylvania but all of our municipalities on stable footing. Where can folks find out more about your work and learn more about some of the pension reform that you're talking about?
You can visit our website at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, and I have some studies there that look at the pension plans in many of the states, and I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Eileen. Thanks for joining me here on The Box.